Former Disney Channel star Lee Allen Baker played the mom on the hit show Good Luck Charlie. She has now become a voice for medical freedom. She is the mom of two vaccine-injured children, and today she is discussing why she has become so courageous as an advocate for liberty, her political evolution over the past few years, the heartbreak and betrayal she felt when Disney became one of the most prominent advocates for medical mandates. We're also discussing the endeavor that she is now undertaking with Brave Books and Kirk Cameron to offer a wholesome and educational alternative in kids' entertainment. We've got so much to talk about today. You're going to be so uplifted by this conversation with Lee Allen Baker. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Good Ranchers. Go to goodranchers.com and use code Allie at checkout. That's goodranchers.com. Code Allie. Lee Allen, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I'm so excited to have you.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. I'm so excited to finally meet you. You've been on my list of people that I want to meet.
Oh, well, that is an honor. Thank you so much. And I'm so excited to hear about all the things that you're doing. But first, I kind of want to back up and just hear how you started in the crazy entertainment acting industry. How did that begin for you?
I was one of those kids that grew up feeling sorry for other children because they didn't know what they wanted to do for a living. And I always knew what I wanted to do for a living. Hmm. So God had always placed it on my heart that I was to be an actress. And there was one point where I even said, hey, I'll make a deal with you. Cause I was at the age of striking deals with God that, if I can be successful in an acting career, I'm going to do things to help kids. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
One series that really kind of took off. I'd had so many pilots, pilot after pilot after pilot. The one that really kind of took off was a kid show, which honestly, I was really against doing at that point in my career. I just come off of doing a new HBO show called 12 Miles of Bad Road. And it had been advertised on HBO after The Sopranos as like the best is yet to come. It was Mary Kay Place, Lily Tomlin, myself, Gary Cole. It was just a really great, it was like, this is it. This is the one. And the head of HBO actually slapped his girlfriend and it was caught on tape. And so they fired him. New guy comes in and says, we don't want any of his projects at all. Mm-hmm. So they just scrapped the project. And I remember sitting there saying to my husband, how am I always arriving back at square one? And then my phone rings. After I decide, you know what? If HBO is going to cancel me, not only am I going to cancel HBO, but I'm going to have a baby.
Wow.
And so I've been putting off, decided to have a baby. And then Disney calls and is like, hey, we got this show about a mom who's going back to work after having a baby. And I thought, I want no part of this. Disney is where adults' careers go to die. Mm. And I'm not game. And it was really, truly the best work experience that I had in the industry.
Yes. Okay. That's so funny hearing that part of your story, because that's a little similar to something that happened to me. I filmed a pilot for CNN back in 2018, and we all had high hopes that it was going to kind of take off. I was like the conservative voice on this panel show, and it didn't. And then my husband and I were like, okay, let's have kids. Like, let's have a baby. And I'm so glad looking back. I'm like, oh my goodness. I am so, so thankful. And I'm sure that you feel the same way, right? So tell us what happened after that.
So I got two families at once. And I was not a spring chicken either. I'd been going from pilot to pilot. I always describe my career in Hollywood at that point as I was at the bar. I was at the same party up at the bar, like everybody else in Hollywood. I just kept ordering the same drink and no one would ever give it to me. Like, when was my thing kind of going to hit? So here I was, I found myself with two families at once, both my own family and my Good Luck Charlie family. And it was really such a sweet spot in life. I loved people that I worked with. I loved the people that I worked for. And of course, my family was just the best thing ever. I mean, there's nothing better than having kids.
Right. Right. So tell us a little bit more about Good Luck Charlie. I am I'm a little too old to have been watching Disney at the time that it was on and so prominent. So you said that was like the best experience in acting that you had. So tell us a little bit more about that.
So what Disney decided to do was they took network veteran writers and network veteran actors, myself and Eric Allen Kramer, who played my husband, and they put us together with these kids. And I kind of thought, how am I going to handle these kids? Like, how do I teach them what to do? And then I quickly learned that even for the audience members and kids, the detriment in children's programming is that people dumb it down. And what I realize is I can just bring my A games, and the kids that I'm acting across, when they see me bring my A game, they raise up their level of acting and they meet you right there, because kids are such open vessels. And the kids at home that watched, I didn't need to dumb it down for them. The same joke that landed for grandma or mom landed for the little kid too. It was such a great show that cast such a wide net and such a big demographic. And it was just such a sweet spot in life. I mean, I went to work every day and my job was just to laugh and be ridiculous. And I like doing that. It's fun to just be hilarious and make a living.
Yeah, of course. So that ended in 2014, correct?
Yes, I believe it's still airing now, but right. I think we stopped recording in 2014. Yeah.
Okay. So what did life look like for you after that? Between that and then when you have become so outspoken about the things that matter, about life and freedom and all of that, what did you do during that period?
I focused on being a mom. And I would get offers for roles that were really inappropriate because, of course, the industry wants to take someone that's been on something pure and really escalate it, because then it's, you know, it's really titillating to take the mom from Good Luck Charlie and throw her in compromising television shows and movies and scenes. But I just didn't want to do that. I couldn't imagine at that point having kind of been the face for having really been America's mom. To turn around and do that kind of work. It didn't sit well with me. I would be embarrassed for my kids to see it. And I just didn't feel right about it. And at the same time, there wasn't a faith-based film that I couldn't get cast in. Like, honestly, I was like, God, what's the deal here? You just keep casting me in all your movies. And, the crux with that is that sometimes Christian movies can be really cringe and really bad. And so how do I kind of elevate that? So focusing on being a mom, but still exploring other films. And then the world went bananas.
Yeah.
Bananas. Like I was even doing a pilot for Disney Channel and developing shows and movies and with them and still continuing a relationship with Disney that was really good, fruitful for both parties, and was getting into executive producing for them, writing for them, creating for them, had done another pilot for them right before COVID hit.
Okay, I was about to ask which year, because if it depends on who you ask, which year everything went crazy. Could be 2020 during COVID. Some people might say 2015 when Trump announced that he was running for president. Like the last 10 years have given us like a lot of years of crazy or introducing new seasons of crazy. And I'm curious, before 2020, which I think we both agree was the introduction of a lot of just insanity, did you ever feel misaligned as a Christian living in LA, working for Disney? Or was that a conflict that didn't really come up on the projects that you were working on?
Well, I've said it before, as far as my faith goes, there is this kind of like unwritten contract that you have in Hollywood. Specifically, I noticed if you're a Christian, to keep your mouth shut about your beliefs. I mean, the good thing about sets is that people are really nice and kind, and the crews are amazing, and everyone's really open and loving, but on the shows that I worked on. But there were certain sets that you knew you just better just pipe down and keep that to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. It seemed like it was okay to speak out if you were of another religion, but if you were Christian, you really just kind of need to keep your mouth shut about that. Unless it's Christmas.
Yeah.
And then you can talk about lights.
And that's it.
But that's the extent of it, you know?
Right.
As long as you kept it in like the Hallmark realm of talking about Christmas, then you were fine.
All right, quick pause to tell you about our first sponsor for the day, and that is We Heart Nutrition. This is the best place to get women's vitamins. Not only do I love them because of their wholesome ingredients, they make sure every single ingredient comes in its most bioavailable form so your body can really absorb them, but I also love them because of their wholesome values. They are unapologetically Christian and pro-life. They give 10% of every sale to pregnancy care centers. They have raised over $10,000 for Prestonwood Pregnancy Center, that is a Texas pregnancy resource center that's supplying women with all kinds of material and spiritual help. And so when you purchase from We Heart Nutrition, you are not only making a good decision for your own health, but you are also helping save lives of unborn children. Right now, they've got a build your bundle option on their website so you can mix and match their products and get up to 40% off. To make it even better, you can use code Allie and you'll get an extra 20% off. So bundle the items, get 40% off. Use my code Allie to get an extra 20% off. WeHeartNutrition.com, code Allie.
Really what struck me is, you know, I was in the, when Trump ran, I guess what started to kind of seem odd to me was, wait a second. And I wasn't even into politics, really. I just thought, there's two legal candidates running that I'm allowed to vote for because there are two candidates, but I'm not allowed to vote for one. I don't like being told what to do. So when someone tells me I have to do something, that's when I go, let me dig a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Why is someone canceled for their job or fired from this or not allowed to do that because they said they wanted to vote for a candidate? I mean, I'm old enough to where, you know, my friends and I would get together and go vote and cancel each other out and go for a salad afterwards, you know, and laugh about it. And suddenly I saw the world really kind of flip on end. And I saw the media really loving it and perpetuating it. I mean, that's what they really wanted, right? It's just another way to divide the country. And that's what they want at the end, is really keep us divided on every issue so that we're not focused on what these globalists and what this greater agenda is. It's more keep us focused on fighting with one another.
Right, right. And it was really in 2020 when these things came into focus for you, right?
2019, things really came into focus for me because I saw a lot of, you know, it's not my story, but it's part of my origin story with this whole thing, is that I had children who were injured by vaccines, childhood vaccines. And so I did a lot of research, and not just on ingredients, but on what was going on in politics and how mandatory vaccinations for adult was an untapped market, according to Warren Buffett. That could produce billions of dollars. And they've kind of run as far as they could with mandating them for kids, because how many can you give them at that point? And then in 2019, there were a lot of behind closed doors meetings going on in California with Gavin Newsom trying to remove medical exemptions for children who had suffered vaccine injuries, medical injuries. So in other words, like, your kid just either couldn't go to school, or, you know, had to get a vaccine and possibly die and go to school. So when they were making these behind the closed door deals about making mandatory vaccines and saying that the state would have the authority to decide if your child could be medically exempt, so some random guy in an office from the state, and even then you would have to give your social security number, you would have to give your location, the location of the school, there would be all this private information released. It just seemed like something else was up. Like, this isn't about, like, 4,000 kids in the entire state of California, and you're doing this? No, this is some sort of totalitarian control, overstepping your bounds to get information to track people. Oh, we're into tracking people now.
Okay, so you were noticing this stuff in 2019, you said?
Oh, yeah, they were 100% setting up for this.
So, 100%. Yeah, I was about to say, you were ahead of the curve, because most people weren't thinking about this. Of course, there's been a conversation about childhood vaccines for a while, and that has blown up in the past couple of years since COVID. But you were worried about surveillance, mandatory vaccines, and tracking before COVID.
Yes, I was worried about if you don't get your shot, you can't get your driver's license. You don't get, if we go to a digital currency, if you don't get your shots, then you don't have access to groceries. I mean, that's,
yeah,
and that's the long game, my friends.
Right. And okay, so when you started talking about this, what was the reaction that you were getting from people around you?
They thought I was absolutely nuts. In fact, I had a group of friends in California that right when COVID hit, I had done some research and I had found online a medical study published by the NIH that the cure for SARS-CoV with ACE2 inhibitor, this study was done in 2014, 2015, that the cure was quercetin with zinc, because quercetin made zinc an ionophore. So what that means is that it opens the viral cell wall so that zinc can penetrate and stop replication. So SARS-CoV with ACE2 inhibitor sounded like SARS-CoV-2 to me, just taking a leap, right? And so I sent this to my friends who are also worried about this virus of, you know, if you take quercetin with zinc, and we're also zinc deficient, that this could be helpful. Well, it turns out that the other two zinc ionophores that people were starting to later realize was hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, though those are prescription versions, and I much prefer the natural bioflavonoid way of quercetin. But I started doing all this research before seeing, oh, this is what's coming down the line. I was at the point in my life where, you know, the first 2 weeks in, you know, the headlines on the paper, yes, I'd still gotten a paper at the time, that's how old school I am, was Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation offers $180 million for vaccine philanthropy study. And I was like, oh, everybody else is like, oh, he's such a good guy. And I'm holding it up to my husband saying, this is how they're going to do it. This is how they're going to do it.
Wow. So you were really probably one of the first people talking about this. And the first people who sound the alarm about anything always take the most arrows. I'm sure at the time it felt a little lonely.
I didn't have a single friend text me back on that thread where I mentioned quercetin, and none of them has spoken to me since. Not a happy birthday to your kids. Not a, oh, I'm sorry, you're getting death threats publicly and you've been slammed all over Inside Edition and everywhere else. I mean, these people were, I had people that were godparents to my children. They were the guardians of my children. If something happened to us, we had left our children to them. And no communication, no Christmas card, zero. It was radio silence.
This is like the beginning of 2020 at this point?
Yes. Okay. And when I fled and moved, and here's where I really stepped in it, is I was asked by a bunch of moms to please go to a school board meeting in Williamson County, Tennessee, even though my kids weren't going to school, I was homeschooling them, and because they were going to mandate masks again. And that's when it really blew up.
Yes. And I want to hear more about that. But I first want to pause on the losing friends point, because I know a lot of people can relate to that. A lot of us have lost friends over the past few years, whether it's because of our stance on masks or medical mandates, whatever it is, or maybe it was BLM, maybe it was Trump, and it can be really difficult. Can you just tell us how you dealt with that emotionally and spiritually? I'm sure that was really hurtful.
It was very hurtful. But I'll tell you what, I do believe that people reveal their true colors and that you should pay attention when they do. And I knew that there is no friend in the world more important to me than my children. It was an easy decision for me. I mean, the kids come first. I mean, God comes first and then your kids. And he was clearly pushing me into a different direction. I will tell you what hurt the most is one day I really kind of broke down and lost it. I've never even talked about this. You just kind of brought this up in me just now. Is we loved going to Disneyland. Disneyland was a weekend event for us because it was truly the best occupational therapy for children.
Yeah.
Because they have fun on one ride. It gets them to use muscle tone to walk and get stamina to go to the next ride. It gets them on a roller coaster. When my kids first rode it, their heads would be pulled down. And then later when they rode it, it was like core tight, neck up, arms in the air, using your core to balance. I mean, it really is so good for kids with any kind of physical disability or special need. I read an article that said that this company, Disney, that I've donated so many years of my life to and my heart to, and was really invested in, not just on a business level, but that like in a relationship with, these people were really like my second family, and that they were going to be making, they were discussing the possibility of vaccination in order to enter and at making Disneyland like a vaccine distribution headquarters. And I broke down. I hit the ground on my knees because I felt such betrayal, like that I could, such betrayal.
Right.
I mean, to me, if someone with vaccine-injured children, it wasn't just a difference of opinion or belief. To me, it was like a death sentence to my kids. Oh, your kids can't be a part of society anymore because, well, you know, you were some of the unlucky ones that really, you know, took a hit, whose lives will never be the same, who has suffered immensely. I was not met with compassion. I was met with abuse, with violence, with death threats, with threats of being ostracized from society, my children never being able to fit in. When Gavin Newsom stands up one day and says, the only way that California will ever go back to normal is if everyone takes a mandatory vaccination. Well, he may as well have put a loaded gun up to my kids' heads. Like, that was not going to happen.
Okay, next sponsor for the day is Jace Medical. You might remember a time when vital medications did not get rationed in the United States. That's something that we heard about and we thought, oh, that only happens in poor countries. That would never happen here, except it is happening in some cases here. With everything going on with the supply chain, unfortunately, we rely on many other countries to get the medications we need. So it is getting more and more difficult to get the prescriptions we rely on, whether that's much needed antibiotics, whether that's our daily prescriptions. So you need to go through Jace Medical, either because of this inconvenience or because of some kind of catastrophe that could happen in the future. You need to make sure that you have a year-long supply of the prescriptions that you and your family rely on a daily basis, and antibiotics that you could potentially need because of an infection. They have 5 essential antibiotics that you can get a year-long supply of. If you go to jacemedical.com, go through their confidential telemedicine process, they'll get you the medications that you need. Use code ALLIE at checkout for a discount. That's jasemedical.com, code ALLIE. I'm sure you felt so betrayed because Disneyland had been not just y'all's fun place, but it sounds like also your safe place. And then it became the opposite. It became the unsafe place that not only was saying you have to do this thing, which could hurt your children, but also you're not welcome here if you don't agree with this. And we hate you if you disagree with this. I mean, that's got to hurt.
Yes. And it just had me baffled that the world couldn't see that as hatred. But if I had a different opinion on something, suddenly I was speaking hate. Like everything was like Wacky Wednesday all of a sudden in the world. And I wasn't willing to go along with that narrative. I didn't care that I was the one person. And oftentimes I was the one person. It didn't just feel like it. I was the one person at a point speaking out about this. I didn't care. Because I'm going to stand up for what is right and what is true. And it's not what I feel like is the truth. It's not like my opinion of the truth or my take on the truth. It's like there is concrete evidence of this is true. This is fact. And I'm not going to deny that, even if everyone in the world says I'm nuts.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Wacky Wednesday, and you actually just kind of made something click for me, because there's a book by Dr. Seuss called Wacky Wednesday, where this kid wakes up, or he's dreaming, and he sees all these silly, crazy things that are completely out of place at his school, and everyone's telling him, what are you talking about? Nothing's wacky here. I'm realizing that that is a really good metaphor.
Yeah, it's a documentary is what it is. Yeah, it's a true story.
Yes, that is kind of what's happening. It's like we're walking around and being like, do you not see that this is crazy? Do you not see that this is out of place? Do you not see that this is true? And you've got people in the media, you've got politicians, Gavin Newsom, our friends gaslighting and basically being like, No, you're crazy. What are you talking about? All of this is perfectly normal. It's perfectly fine to be forced to take this vaccine or to put this mask on or that men can become women. This is all totally fine. We are in perpetually wacky Wednesday world. You're totally right.
That is correct. So the media will spin it one way. And so what happens is people are either so insecure that they're like, oh, I want to be thought of as a good person, so I have to believe this nonsense, right? Even though deep down they know that ain't right. Like, what?
Yeah.
Or they use fear of like, I don't want, if I speak out on that or if I question that, oh, that what happened to them could happen to me and I don't want that happening.
Yeah.
Well, my viewpoint is you're all in line behind me. Get some, grow a pair and stand up for the truth.
Right. Right. It's like, I call it, there are different ways to describe it, but I do think a lot of us, especially as women, can be victims of what I call empathy shaming or empathy bullying or toxic empathy. Like, it's basically using a form of empathy as a mallet to bludgeon someone into compliance. If you're an empathetic person, you'll be on the progressive side of any issue, whether it's gender, whether it's abortion, whether it's vaccines. And because all of us want to be seen as empathetic, no one wants to be seen as mean or hateful or bigoted. We hear, okay, well, that must just be true. It must be empathetic to be pro-choice or to be pro-mandate. And so people just, it's just easier for them. It's just easier to kind of believe that. And as you have shown, we have every incentive really to fall in line with what the mainstream says is right, because you might be punished if you don't, but you decided that it was worth it.
And I thought people could see through that. I thought that they could maybe use some of their executive function and realize, well, what does she have to gain by saying this? Well, right. Nothing. In fact, she's been put through the ringer. And what does this pharmaceutical company have gained to say this? Oh, billions of dollars. But people just don't want to, they're just scared. And I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So you fled the state of California, you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then what has it been like since then?
Overnight, actually. It was getting really stupid. You know, they would say 2 weeks in, like, you can't. I mean, at first I was scared. I fell for it too. The indoctrination is strong. It is heavy. And then they said, oh, you can't get it by touching things. And I was like, deadliest virus in the history of the world, and you can't get it by touching things? Everybody knows you go to Disneyland, you touch something, you lick something, you get the flu or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I'm not buying it. Like, it's all a scam, all of it. Like, I'm not buying any of it. So I fled overnight. I kept really feeling the pressure. I knew my kids wouldn't be able to go to school. And I thought, well, Tennessee has good schools.
Okay. So your husband, he was on board with everything as well?
He had been seeing that there were very few outs for our kids to have a normal life. There was only so much more hiding of the fact that we had vaccine injuries and that how could we participate in society when we weren't going to be allowed to even go to school? So he was really starting to see it. He was hopeful that we could move to Tennessee later in our lives. But that was not the timing. The timing was that I felt God really say to me, like, now.
Mm. Okay. And you are also, you're also pro-life. California is obviously ardently pro-abortion. And I'm sure just kind of the disparate values and the gap that was growing between you and California also contributed to your sense of urgency to leave, right?
I didn't see a financial equation that would ever make sense for my children to be able to have a life there. There is no mathematical equation that can fix the catastrophic state of the financial situation going on in California, nor is there going to be any freedoms left. I just didn't see life working out for them. And I wanted to be free. I was not going to wear a mask. I was not going to get a vax. I was not going to play these games. Someone actually said to me the other day in an interview, what made you radically change to leave California and start a career in a different direction? What made that radical? I said, I didn't radically change. Hollywood, California radically changed, not me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to just be myself and go to work. They wanted to say, you have to stick this cotton swab up to your brain that has ethylene oxide from China at the tip of it. You have to wear a mask. You have to stand 6 feet from people. Dots on the floor that you have to stand to separate to show you 6 feet because, you know, at 5'9", you'll get it, but at 6'1", you won't. And, You have to wear a mask, which everybody knows. I'm sorry, but that's just ridiculous.
All right, it's time for me to tell you about America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. That is Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. So when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you are supporting free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, all the things that we hold dear on this show. So switch to Patriot Mobile. They make it really easy. They have a 100% US-based customer service team. And when you use my code Allie at patriotmobile.com/Allie, you'll get free activation. So go to patriotmobile.com/Allie, code Allie. And okay, so when you got to Tennessee, you said that things really kind of blew up for you when you went viral and you spoke at a school board meeting in Franklin to protest the implementation of mask mandates. This was in August of 2021, and we're just going to go ahead and play that clip now. It's SOT 2.
The real part of the clown show is that you all think that you actually have the authority to mandate this. Because there are these books that I have, and I have them as a gift for you. The Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
Yes, ma'am.
The Bill of Rights. And the Federalist Papers, and also the Bible, and these guarantee my freedom and yours and our children's to breathe oxygen.
Okay, so that kind of spread really quickly on the internet, and you became really kind of a voice for people pushing back against this, right?
Yeah. That was such a God moment because I was not planning to go there. I had these books and someone had said, please come. You can talk to people. And I thought, well, you know, while people are outside waiting in line, I could maybe inspire them, read something from this. So I just grabbed them. I don't even know why I did. I didn't know what I was going to say. And then when I got there, this woman said, look, we want you to speak. So take my number because the slots to speak had been filled. And I really didn't know what I was going to say. And that speech actually started out with me just being so thankful because when I stood up there, I realized the gratitude that I have that I live in a country where I can actually stand up and say what I want to say still, at least for now, and how precious and amazing and incredible that right was. And so I was really overcome with gratitude. And that's how I started out with like, I'm so thankful to be here because I'd truly been met with open arms in Tennessee. And I'd never felt that in California. I'd been ostracized. Mm. I was grateful to be there. And then I got down to business of, you know, everyone stood up saying, we don't want masks because of this. We do want masks because of this. Well, you can do what you want with your kids. Well, I want your kids to do what my kids do. I mean, and no one had gotten to the real crux of the situation, which is a school board doesn't have the right to gag you from breathing oxygen. They just don't even have the right to be making that decision. And I knew at that point by witnessing what I had witnessed in California that the deal's already struck. Mm-hmm. It's already made. This is just how can I make an impact to get the truth out there? Because they already had made their decisions that they were going to remandate masks. However, what people don't know is that in the state of Tennessee, if you just wrote a letter and say, yeah, we're going to make ourselves exempt from that, you could be exempt from it. But you had to make yourself exempt from wearing a mask before you could do that. If you just went to school and were like, no, I'm just going to live by my rights under the Constitution to breathe freely and walk freely and you not restrict my movement, they would sequester you.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't about the health or the safety. It was about getting that bit of control over you and people complying with it.
Are you worried about what could be around the corner in an election year? I mean, we know all of the chaos that came from COVID probably helped Biden. I mean, you know, election stuff aside, I know a lot of people still have questions and criticisms of the process itself. But mm-hmm. I mean, Democrats obviously used the fear surrounding COVID to say you have to vote for us because your life depends upon it. I mean, and we've already seen the WHO. We talked about this on the show recently, the WHO trying to get multiple countries to sign this treaty, ceding in some ways our sovereignty in case of some kind of medical emergency.
Our bodily autonomy, they would take that over. They want the right to override any constitution, any government control of our people or state regulations. They want to come in and implement theirs. And let's talk about how wrong they were on absolutely everything with that. With COVID. They were wrong on absolutely everything. Well, I think they were caught. They knew they were wrong. I think they were caught at everything and the truth eventually came out to people. But it is absolutely imperative. I will not hand my kids over to some neo-Nazi globalist lunatics at the World Health Organization. I'm not going to do that. I think people need to learn that when something has a really pretty name, doesn't mean that what's going on behind the scenes is pretty. That is to gain control over all U.S. citizens because the United States is the linchpin of freedom. And once that is broken, it is done for the world. They'll get their one world government, their new world order. And we will not be at the top of the food chain on that. We're talking Hunger Games stuff. You will be in a district and may the odds forever be in your favor.
And I wish it were a conspiracy theory. I would love to say, oh, Lee Allen, you're just, I mean, that's just way too far. Get your tinfoil hat on. But unfortunately, they basically say this stuff out loud. When they go to Davos and the people who are involved in the WEF, the world leaders who are all incentivized by the WEF to carry out these policies, they're not hiding things like that. We've already heard the WHO say that we need a one health approach when it comes to battling things like COVID. Anytime you see the word one in front of this global organization's plans, you need to be really skeptical because that does always signify some kind of lack of sovereignty, either individual sovereignty, national sovereignty, as you said, autonomy. Because the fact of the matter is, countries are different, peoples are different, families are different. We can't all be governed under one system, one process, one strategy without an entity taking complete and total control. And so it does seem like you were ahead of the curve in understanding kind of where this goes.
Yeah. When I saw their video that came up pretty early of you will own nothing and you will be happy.
Yeah. That was,
we just broke that down for
you. Right.
You're going to take your stuff. That's code for we're going to take your stuff.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how else people think it's like, oh no, I won't own anything. I'll rent it from the government via drone. Really? Yeah. No. I mean, it's not going to be pretty, you know. I mean, you can look at all the past history of communism. It doesn't turn out well. You can use East and West Berlin as an example for that.
Yeah, man, so many examples, especially in the 20th century alone. Okay, last sponsor for the day is Birch Gold. Financial experts might have thought that we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like inflation is leaving us anytime soon, and the U.S. is $34 trillion in the hole, and yet we keep printing money. So all of this means that you need to make sure that your savings are protected. You can do that by diversifying a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. They make it really easy. They are the most trustworthy company in helping you diversify your savings into gold. So text Allie to 989-898. Reach out to Birch Gold. They'll send you a no obligation free info kit. You can learn more about it and they can help you diversify. Text Allie to 989-898. Text Allie to 989-898. Okay, tell us, as you have really been a voice and you've really been speaking out and you've sacrificed a lot because of that, for the moms who are listening right now, it's very anxiety inducing to think about these big, powerful people who do not care about what we think or about what we say or what our choices are. It can be really intimidating for those of us out here to feel like we are totally powerless, we're totally helpless, we're totally hopeless. Can you just give some advice to the moms who are like, okay, but what do I do to protect my kids and to fight back? How do I push back?
Well, this is part of what brought me closer to God and to actually realizing that, oh, the Bible is like a living, breathing thing. I mean, I always used to say, life doesn't come with an instruction manual. And then one day I was like, oh, it does. It does. Look at this. Did you see this? I guess I'm really confident in who goes before me. And look, I would just say that the Bible doesn't tell you to be afraid. It tells you to not be afraid. In fact, it commands it 365 times. Do not be afraid. It says, go forth and multiply, not sit back in your closet and bite your nails. You know, Revelations wasn't written so that you could build a bunker. It was written so you could build a table and invite people around and share the gospel. I just feel that I'm not going to be on the wrong side of history on this. It's not going to happen. And if they could have so easily taken the United States over to create their great reset, of course, that's why they're breaking the United States, because in order to reset something, you have to break it first. That's kind of the chronological order of that situation. But I'm just not going to be, I'm not going to play their game. It doesn't scare me. You know, I know that this world is not my home. I'm a visitor here. And, I'm not going to turn. What is the alternative? You enslave humanity and that's the life you leave your children? I'm not going to be the person to do that. I don't care if I'm the only voice saying it from the top of my lungs. I'm not going to hand my kids over to the World Economic Forum. Noah Yuval Harari is the little henchman to the Klaus Schwab. It's his little guy. And he on interviews will say, artificial intelligence has already completely taken over. Like it's over. It's game over. There is no more soul. There is no more spirit. You will have to accept the fact that a group of elites will be your gods. I just say that ain't happening. But I do feel the good news is that there's always, I feel like there is such hope. I feel like so many people are waking up to the truth of what is going on in the world. And I feel like what an exciting time to be alive. And to be witness to this and hopefully affect some positive change in this. And homeschooling, let's look at that. Homeschooling has taken off. Everybody's doing it now. And kids are finally, you know, slowing down being indoctrinated and starting to be like educated and learning to use executive function. People are learning to the basics of growing your own food, of cooking, of you know, the sourdough bread, the raw milk craze, getting back to basics. We've gone so far in the other direction. I mean, let's pull back to basics. I just feel like there is so much hope. And if the United States were that easy to take over, it would have been done by now. But it's not. And that's where the Second Amendment comes in handy.
I do think that it can be intimidating to think about trying to save the world. And I just remind the women, the individuals listening to my podcast, is that it's not our job to save the world or to change the future. You can only do what you can with the resources that you've been given, with the people around you. What we are all called to do, which is what Christians have always been called to do for the 2,000 years of our existence, is to maximize, to cultivate, to beautify the tiny plot of earth, the tiny speck of eternity on which God has providentially placed us. And that only ever means doing the next thing that glorifies God, doing the next right thing. That's not my original phrase, but that's a phrase that we say a lot on this show. Do the next right thing in faith with excellence and for the glory of God. Sometimes that will mean some big, brave public thing. It might mean speaking before the school board. Sometimes it's the more private thing. Sometimes it's literally just washing dishes or changing a diaper with joy, discipling your children, sharing the gospel with your friend. Maybe it is taking those steps to ensure that your home is a refuge of godliness and of clarity and of truth and of health and stability and all of those things. I don't want the women out there to think that they're powerless. You can only do what God has empowered you to do with what you have, and trust that God is completely and totally powerful and that He will win. That doesn't mean that we sit back and do nothing. That just means that obedience moment by moment looks different. It looks different depending on the stage of life that you're in, what God has called you to do, the talents that He's given you, and all of those things. And we might not be able, you're probably never going to be able, not you, but you in general, talk to Klaus Schwab and change his mind. And that's okay. God hasn't called you to do that. We can only do the best that we can with what is in front of us and just trust that the Lord is good. And by the way, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. That's what the book of James tells us. And so we also can't underestimate like what our prayers can do and how they can actually work.
Yes, I agree. I think that prayer is so, so powerful. And waking up every morning, and I always like to tell my husband, every time my feet hit the ground in the morning, the devil goes, oh, she's up again. Mm-hmm. You know, I hit the pavement with joy in my heart and prayers for not only my family and my country, but also praying for the enemy. I mean, God is more powerful than all of this. And so I think that's why I'm not afraid. If it weren't for my faith, then I probably would be afraid. But that is what gives me strength. And I didn't know I was going to go speak at that board meeting and it was going to blow up to this. I didn't even know what the term going viral really meant at the time. But he put me there in that place. And since then, I've tried to go places to make an impact, and it hasn't. Hmm. My impact has been at home. It's been with a neighbor. It's been on a podcast, or it's, you know, trying to find a new path for my career because they shut it down of, you know, expanding into a different direction, taking Christian film in a different direction. So, and sometimes I have friends that say, I want to be able to make an impact like you do. And I say to them, you do. I would have lost my mind if I didn't have you as my friend. Mm. You know, there's so many different levels and different ways that you can help. But number one, you know, you start at home.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Tell us about this new project that you have that you're working on with Kirk Cameron that is hopefully going to make parents feel less alone and like they have somewhere else to turn for education and entertainment for their kids. That's not somewhere like Disney, who unfortunately has really turned their backs on a lot of parents.
Yeah, corporations unfortunately are at the whim of what will make their company profitable with certain investors and certain political climates. But that's not the case with Brave Books because they're brave and they have recognized that the lane is completely open for good, wholesome family entertainment. And so that is the goal of this show. It's kind of like a Mr. Rogers type feel, which I think Kirk is perfect for. And he has this puppet Iggy that is really hilarious. That is his little sidekick in that show. And I have a segment on that show where I just go over anything creative, arts, entertainment, singing, painting, sculpture, any kind of creative outlet for kids to do in that segment. So it's really kind of like a Sesame Street meets Mr. Rogers, but it's going to have a lot more energy and be more modernized. And parents can trust that the lessons in this are wholesome and value God and family.
Okay, so tell me where people can go to learn more about it.
So go to bravetv.com and you can learn all sorts of it, all the different things about it. Now, one of the things that I will stress is that it is dependent on fundraising because we're not going to answer to Hollywood executives. We're going to answer to parents. And that's where I have tried to plead with people. You need to get in the game with entertainment and start to be the producer of your own kids' television and programming. It is called kids programming for a reason. You see, it programs them. So you may as well feed them with nourishing content instead of starving them with debauchery.
Yes. If you go to bravebooks.us, right up top, you'll see Adventures with Iggy and Mr. Kirk. So cute. And there's an option to back this project. And so I would encourage everyone, like, it's not enough for us to just sit around and complain about what these major corporations are doing and the degenerate content that we're seeing on Netflix and different places like that. We have to put our money where our mouth is because there are, thank the Lord, there are growing alternatives. And to speak to our point earlier about there being reason for hope and reason for gladness, like I am seeing this parallel economy really crop up of conservatives, freedom-loving people, Christians saying, you know what, I'm going to make sure that parents, that people have options, that they don't have to spend their money on these godless corporations and this just, radical programming that we are seeing on the left. So go to bravebooks.us and you'll see the option to back the project. Is there anything else you want people to know about that?
I think most of the content that they can find on that website, and really, you know, I would just encourage you to get involved. And maybe, you know, when we take this step and be courageous and forming our own path, maybe it will be so successful that it becomes contagious, and that
I hope so.
Maybe Disney will start to make better content again and listen to their viewership instead of listening to the corporate overlords.
Yes. Yes. And amen. Well, thank you so much. And people can follow you on Instagram. Anywhere else you want to direct them?
Instagram. I have a TikTok and YouTube channel and Twitter. You can just Google me and it will pop up.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lee Allen. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on to share your story. I am thankful for your courage. Courage is contagious. Courage begets courage. And you have helped a lot of women be courageous. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.